What does the Bible have to say to us about the last things? How do we understand the book of Revelation? Do the scriptures have anything to say to us about the times in which we live? Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, and I invite you to a free conference on understanding the end times, a biblical perspective on the last things. Saturday, November 7th, 2015 at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Speakers include professors and authors Dr. Dennis Johnson and Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. That's Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Sickness, cancer, death, these are all very real problems we deal with living in a sinful world. And the Bible has given us a great answer to these problems. Maybe some of you are going through this right now. Maybe some of you have just been diagnosed with something terrible. Maybe you're losing a loved one to cancer. There are so many ways, obviously, that these things can strike out at our bodies at any given time. And it's wonderful to open up the Gospel of Mark and see Jesus' power and authority over sickness and the ultimate goal that in the resurrection of the body, he will finally and forever do away with these things so that there is no more sickness, no more death, no more tears, no more suffering. If you're going through these things right now, this is the message of you. If you're not, one day you're going to face these things. This is the message for you. We're looking at Jesus' power in Mark chapter 1. As I've titled this message, He Bore Our Sicknesses. What a wonderful text today to look at the Lord Jesus Christ's compassion and how He came to remedy the problem of sickness and death in the cross. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. So thankful, dear listener, if these are blessings to you, these radio broadcasts, we encourage your prayerful and your financial support. It helps us to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to these major population bases in the United States. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Here is now part two of that message that we aired yesterday. He bore our sicknesses from Mark chapter 1. We hope this radio broadcast is a blessing to you.
And that's the marvel of this. It's a wonderful thing. With Peter's mother-in-law, he gives us a glimpse in something that he loves to do, but he also gives us a glimpse into future glory. He sees her sick. He walks up to her without a word, and he grabs her hand, and he lifts her right up, and she's immediately healed. The immediate power of the Lord is put on display, and she gets up and she serves him. I would imagine she got right up. She went to make him a meal. This is in the evening. It's a really beautiful scene if you think about it. It's not the kind of scene we ever go to, but it really is a beautiful scene, isn't it? That the Lord grants us healing mercies, and you see a purpose in that. To get up and start serving. Immediately about his service. One pastor said, "We've been so overcome with feminism in our culture. Today we have lost the beauty of domestic service." Amen. I totally believe that. Of this kind of service in the name of Christ. A woman preparing a meal is scorned at today. And yet in the beginning of Mark's gospel, it's put right there. This is what his power and what he did. This is what he encouraged us with. This is what he came to show us, that kind of power, and that he constantly releases us to be about his service. And don't ever underestimate it. Don't ever underestimate taking a meal to someone. Don't ever underestimate taking a glass of cold water in his name. I love that. It really is a kind of foretaste of the fullness of his kingdom coming when we will get out of the grave and serve him and worship him forever, isn't it? But Jesus is showing us his command over sickness and death and his ability to break us free. It's just wonderful. But look at what's happened. This healing, which he desires to do, and I want to emphasize that, he desires to do, has made matters worse for him. He entered the house at evening, it's probably around 4 o'clock, and by the time the sun had set, it had spread throughout the entire city. The whole city had packed out at the house. I'm amazed by that. If you look at verse 32, news had traveled so fast that all who were sick and all who were demon-possessed, and the sense is that with the coming of Jesus on the scene, it had so thrown the kingdom of the devil into such chaos and despair that demon possession was taking place. And that's why I do believe it was something very peculiar to the presence of Christ on the earth. That's another discussion. But whatever the case, they're all gathered at the door now. You have got multitudes of sick people and multitudes of demon-possessed people at the door of Peter's house. Imagine if there were a man in Escondido who could heal all diseases. How many sick people do you think are in Escondido tonight? Well, you can just drive down to Palomar Hospital. Place is packed out hard. You cannot get a parking spot in that place in the daytime. I've got to drive way out there. How many people would pile at the doors of the house if Jesus were, or some man was out healing? Do you see what's being emphasized here? This is God incarnate. This is the King. It's remarkable because we looked at last time. The kingdom of darkness is in a frenzy, and lo and behold, demonic influence is everywhere, but so is sickness. And Mark wants to make very clear these are two separate things. But what everyone should feel here is his authority over all of it. Everyone's coming to him. The imagery we get is that he spent all night healing and casting out. You have any idea of the weight of that? No, neither do I. But we can try to get there. He's carrying it. Listen to how Matthew characterizes this event. This is Matthew. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Here it is. This was to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Direct fulfillment of Isaiah 53. I love to think about that for a moment. He came here. It was his desire to heal and bear all of our sicknesses, to carry all of our diseases. What does that mean? One of my most frustrating aspects of being a pastor is to see human sickness, to see disease. And I'm merely a human pastor. I wish I could fix it. I wish I could fix it now. It's a weight I can't bear, is what my point is. It's a weight I can't bear. I think of Isaiah. He came to carry and to bear all of your sicknesses. That's what it says. It kind of becomes a little more weighty when you think that whoever he healed got sick again. It's kind of more weighty to think Lazarus had to die twice. Any of you who get sick, God heals you for service in his kingdom. What a wonderful opportunity to serve him. But that does not and has not eliminated the fact that you will still get sick again and die. Do you see the problem? Do you see it? We live for this now. We don't understand the reason Jesus came, and they didn't. Now, you have some sense of this. You know Joel Osteen just put out a new book, right? The book title is The Power of I Am. What a great title, if only that was about God. He's talking about himself. He has taken the divine name and has used that now to be able to declare health and prosperity and sickness. You can declare that in your life, which is an assault on God because it says, I don't really like how the I am is really doing it. So I'll take that prerogative and I'll do it myself. You can do that yourself. Think positive. Be the I am. Speak your health. You know how much that's dominated our culture and the Christian church? We sit astonished at Joel Osteen, but it's our problem. This is what we want from Jesus. We want a man subservient to our health and wealth now. And the church itself has completely refashioned and redesigned its ministry and message to be that health and wealth today. It's not wrong to want healing. And I emphasize again, Jesus wants to give it to you, desires to give it to you in its right time. Well, what has happened here? Cities have come out. A city has come out. Is Jesus just a free healthcare provider? You would have him out as a free healthcare provider, and man, that would be your greatest king ever if he could provide free healthcare, right? As a matter of fact, that's why they wanted to make him king in John 6. This is why they wanted his kingdom to come. He could feed them, and now he could give free healthcare. Here's his tension. He has complete compassion and sympathy. He knows all the agonies of your hearts. He wants you to know that he carries them, that he loves you. And if you don't see it, look at him weeping over Lazarus' death. He was carrying that sorrow. I can't carry that sorrow. He carried that sorrow. It grieved his spirit to see the physical consequences of sin play out in people's lives and in their bodies. Death working its way out. Witnessed in those whom he loves, sickness and death working in them. And he's carrying all that sadness the whole time he's here. He is carrying all that sadness. You have no idea what went on in his soul. You know what Mark shows you? Though he loves to heal you, though he often heals you now when you cry out to him, and he did for many that day, though he would be glad to give you all health and strength and vigor today, the reality still remains that death is working in us all. You're not going to achieve it in your present form, in your present state. You can't speak your health into existence. You can't do all these things to maintain. I mean, people live today like they're never going to die. And in God's providence, many of you have found yourselves with very prolonged, protracted sufferings and trials to which it may seem like they will never end. Again and again, and it hurts, and you suffer. You may even sound a little bit like Israel this morning. Is the Lord with us? In the very next scene, what do you have? After Mark presents Jesus up all night almost, healing, casting out demons, in the very next scene, he's up early in the morning doing what? Praying. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed. Notice this. While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. I love that. What do you say about that? I know what I've heard. I've always felt guilty about that passage because I've been told that I should be out early in the morning praying like Jesus. I should. But that's not the point. I asked my family the other night as I read this passage, I says, what strikes you about this passage? We looked at everything he's been doing here in just one chapter, how a marvel this ministry is. And you know what they all said at the table? There was no one like this man. There was no one like this man. And that's exactly the point. He's the paradigm man. He's praying. And I've tried to explain to you how a weak pastor carries the burdens of his people. I have no idea how to explain to you how the only true good shepherd and pastor carries all your sicknesses. But I think something is captured of that right here. What was his prayer like? All I know is after all night doing that, all he could do is be in prayer. Full of praise, expressing devotion to his Father. What's he doing? It must sound something like John 6. My food is to do your will, O Father, to accomplish the work that you've given me to do. What sustains me is the fulfilling of the work that my Father gave me to do. He's communing with his Father. His prayer is displaying an essential part of his obedience and submission to the divine assignment to save, so that he should lose none. So what's he praying for? He just came from all night healing, and the next thing we see him doing early in the morning hours is praying for you, praying for your sicknesses, praying for obedience, right, to what the Father had given him to do. He has to maintain pure obedience to this divine calendar and this perfect established calendar of what he needs to go fulfill. The disciples come back and they find him. They had been searching for him and they found him and they said, everyone's looking for you. The mission is going fantastic, Jesus. We got to get back there. There are loads of sick people. There are loads of demon-possessed people. Your fame is just building and building and building. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. After hours of prayer, what's on Jesus' mind? And he said to them, no. Let's go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for that's why I came. Whoa. Jesus, there's still so much more to do. There's so much healing to do. There's so much work to be done for these people. You got to get back to Galilee. No. Let's get out of here. Why? I've got a divine schedule to keep. See how focused he is? I got a schedule. Look, if you want to see that schedule, look at him in John 4, meeting the woman at the well. Perfect time, he's there. You say, well, how is he carrying sickness and how is he carrying our sorrows? What is his top priority? I need to preach. Remember how Mark's gospel began? He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. You've got to believe in me. This good news has come. I have come to fulfill all righteousness. Here I've come in perfect, complete submission to the Father. He is intent on doing what? Heading straightway, immediately, 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 immediately to Jerusalem. You see, it's good news that doesn't just deal with symptoms. To be just a present healer would only be dealing with symptoms. He appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he does away with sin, he does away with death and secures for us the final and complete resurrection of our bodies. So what did he come to do? He says, I came to deal with the heart of the problem. I came to carry all of your sicknesses, and I came to bear all of your woes and all of your sorrows and all of your pains right to the cross. And there I will conquer this tragic mess. He was after eliminating it altogether, once and for all. What does it mean that he bore our sicknesses and he carried our diseases? He bore the weight of them. He carried all your sorrows, all your pains, all your afflictions, and your death to the cross. And he dealt with them when he said it's finished and rose again. And that's why preaching had the priority of his ministry. Preaching makes known the reason for that he came. Preaching makes known the seriousness of the call to come today, believe today, repent and turn to him today. And in that message preached, that's how God opens up and deals with the true heart problem. Wherever you found Jesus in his earthly ministry, you found him preaching because that's what he wanted to do. And this should help you in all of your sicknesses and all of your weaknesses. If it was the heart of your Savior to be about preaching in the midst of this kind of turmoil in the kingdom, it should be your greatest desire facing death to sit under that voice as much as you can. This is his abiding testimony to you that remains to this day, that he's dealt with the greatest issue of our lives. This is why Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ and him crucified. I put myself under the curse if I don't do that. His resurrection secures our glorious resurrection so that one day we will get up and serve him forever in glory. With no more sickness, with no more sorrow, with no more tears, with no more frustrations, and we will be whole and complete. So if in the present he gives you some respite, if he gives you some relief from the struggle before the final resurrection, well, then you should be about his service, shouldn't you? As a matter of fact, I had an elder come up to me and say, Pastor, you should think about preaching on the parable of the talent. I'm going to do that next Sunday morning. We should be about his service as he's given you healing today. You should be about serving one another and loving his people. Taking a cup of cold water in his name if he has granted you strength in this time. If not, and you're confined to a bed, or if you become sick and you're confined and you wonder why Jesus hasn't healed you or why your plight is so bad and you struggle with whether he's against you or whether you are outside of his favor, I want you to hear his gospel to you tonight. He has carried those sorrows for you and your loved ones so that in the midst of your sorrow, you can have joy. Think of it. That's why Paul said in the heart of his afflictions, he can rejoice. He's not carrying those sorrows. The Lord has. You no longer have to bear them because Jesus came to remedy the problem forever so that your resurrection is secure and you will never know these things again. If in his providence you are to suffer things in the present, then he has told you he has a good intention for you so that you would learn more about him and yourself. But remember what he has said in your light momentary affliction, it is working in you something far a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. Something glorious is held out for you because he came. He prayed for you. He bore your sicknesses. And he went all the way to the cross dying, and dying himself so that you could hear the words that whosoever believes in him. It's the urgency of Mark. Whosoever believes in him, even though he dies, he shall live. And that is his promise to you. Let's thank him together tonight in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have encouraged us greatly this day and been so faithful. We're overwhelmed, Lord, by your goodness. Take the dimness of our souls and hearts away. And let us value what is most important. Having priorities as our Lord had priorities when he walked on this earth. Would we be in prayer? Would we be valuing what's most important? Would we be praying a lot more from now on that the gospel would be advanced in the preaching? Would we be praying a lot more that people would understand you and the reason for which Jesus came? As we pray for our sick loved ones, we know your purposes are good and right. You grant healing. But we all know that what is ultimately held out for us in the resurrection, you have secured in Christ. So let our hopes not be dashed by having false expectations in the present of what is held out for us in future glory.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're thankful to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and would like to invite you to our Sunday morning worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.